With CarGurus Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and CarGurus Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder CarGurus is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with CarGurus at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.
On this episode of Two Dudes, One Cart, John and I sit down and talk about Anthony Kim. Was this the greatest round we've seen or the greatest comeback story in the, I don't know, past 10 years? I don't know. Let's talk about it on this episode of the Two Dudes, One Cart podcast. And always, thank you for listening. All right, everybody. Me and John are together once again on, I don't know, I think spring just kind of stuck the tip in and then pulled it right back out because yeah, we're back in sub-zero temps, it feels like. And then it's going to be, I don't know, 60 this weekend. And who knows? John, how you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm doing wonderful, man. Just trying to figure out why I have to keep on pulling the clubs out of my trunk and putting them inside and then putting them back in the trunk like I might be able to use them.
It's the worst season to be a golfer because you want that warm day and it's great to get out when you know you probably shouldn't be out or, you know, but you're lucky enough to get out. And then once it teases you, you really want it to stick around, and then whoo, it's gone again. Just to, it's all it is just building up because we have to enjoy the time when we get the time.
Yeah.
So I think that maybe Mother Nature's part of it is like, oh yeah, you like this weather, do you? Watch this. Enjoy it while you got it.
Yeah, it's like my ex-girlfriend. You know, she's bipolar. I only dated one person, though. I got to see all three personalities in the given day.
Well, John, give us an update. How's the, have you been keeping up with your practice schedule, getting down, hitting some stuff in the simulator? You got another visit with Jeremy coming up?
I had a visit on Wednesday of last week after business hours, in case Phillip's listening, after business hours.
Gotcha. Always.
Spent probably 40 minutes shooting the shit with Jeremy and just getting caught up and, you know, we were talking about everything and from, hey, Jeremy, you're in the golf business and you get paid cash a lot. Like, have you ever thought about getting, like, lowering your fees and getting paid on with some tips as your supplemental income? Because 2026, bud, no tax on tips. Thanks to your boy, the Orange Man. So, but yeah, he got me straightened out. I mean, if you had a guess, Steve, out of this hour and 10 lesson that I practiced for maybe 20, 30 minutes smokes in front of him, what do you think Jeremy's recommendations, what do you think that he saw for my trackman debt?
Well, judging by how that might have been dripping in sarcasm, I'm assuming he told you to do that three-quarter swing and the same thing he's told you every other time that you've been there.
You know, if that...
80%, three-quarter...
80% swing, don't over-rotate, get the loop out of the top end where you try to extend it where the fingers come off of the palm. So you try to reach back just a little bit more and time it right, you might be able to get that extra 1.5 yard. Yep, that was it. And then I was hitting Stripe Show. I mean, I got my TrackMan data. He emailed me my TrackMan data, which was sick. He's like, well, how far do you want to hit your 54? I go, 54 should be like my 100-yard club. 105 max, you know, if I want to step on it. You know, I would just started flushing that thing like 110, 112.
Yeah.
I'm going three quarter. I'm like, oh, so now I know what I'm throwing with my wedge game. I'm swinging hard. Okay, that's cool. 8 iron. If I miss anything on my 8 iron, it's a little left. It's because I got my weight too far on my toes instead of getting my weight left.
Right.
But striping that well, and then the driver came out just hot, carrying the driver anywhere from 240 to 265. So anywhere from 265 total to 289.
Yep.
Yeah. It's like, yep, that's accurate. Eight iron. Surprisingly, I got some up there in the 160s. A couple of them where I just synced everything up perfect. Three quarter for me, for all the listeners, is still probably about 5 degrees past parallel.
Right.
That's what it feels like. The numbers were good. I was almost in the 5,500 to 6,000 with the 8 iron. coming in right around 90 feet of height. So then he put it on the optimizer, like with my swing speed, my launch angle, like I can't top it out any. I can't get any more out of my driver. I could hit my 8-iron farther, but I'm going to have to increase the spin but de-loft the flight by like 10 feet, which I don't think I want to do. So it's, for me, it's just like you said, just don't overswing, don't over-rotate, keep the weight on my left side, and don't lean forward. It's easy.
Well, if it was easy, you wouldn't have to keep going back.
Yeah, yeah. It's easy when I'm sitting there and just hitting on the range.
Now, does Jeremy use that, what is it? I guess it's Tracy for TrackMan, the AI at all?
I don't know what he uses. It's got all the different lines from your path going back, your path going through. So then it gives you your virtual track where your arms are at or your hands are at and all that. Because I don't use it. He's like, oh, yeah, you see the difference here? And I'm like, I don't know.
Well, no, my curiosity was I got to thinking that, you know, we have discussed in the past about AI and golf. And I got to thinking, you know, if you had video and you have all these paths and you were able to, TrackMan was able to store those, like they had a huge database, man, you could really dial it in. Like if it was like, hey, this guy's X amount of height, plays these clubs, blah, 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 hits this swing speed, this path, this strike pattern, how quickly they could dial you in.
Yeah, but you still got to do it.
Although you need a coach, I still think the word coaches come in is, and I've made posts about it, is the fact that imagine AI looked at Jim Furyk or Matt Wolf.
Yeah.
You know, or Scottie Scheffler for that matter. They would go, oh, well, you know, Scottie Scheffler, you're moving your feet too much. Let's change that. And we all know that really, if you just taught it to look at path and, you know, where it's hitting the club face, and you're just worried about those. Yeah.
Like those core 8 stats, right?
Right.
Face to path, attack angle, launch angle, carry distance, ball speed, swing speed, spin rate.
I think that's the only thing that bothers me about, we've already got enough as amateur golfers with, whether it's like we've talked in the past about YouTube, we have all this information out there just coming at us constantly. Whatever you want to know, it's out there. And then all of a sudden you get AI apps on your phone. You can video your own swing and blah, blah, blah. But that could take you down the total wrong path, because just because your swing doesn't look orthodox, whether it's in your backswing or whatever, doesn't mean you're not delivering the face of the club to the ball the way you should. You know, not every swing is cookie cutter. And I just think that that's where people are missing. And this is a big shout out to all the coaches out there, because that's
you still gotta have somebody guide you through it.
Yeah.
You know, because like for me, it's like, yeah, show me me and my perfect swing through AI, and it will probably give me a great video. And it's like, okay, how do I feel that? How do I make myself do it?
Right
now. So now if you get in like that robotic thing where it says, hey, here's Tiger's 2000 swing.
Right.
Then he doesn't let you do anything besides Tiger swing. Yeah, maybe. But no one can afford like a $100,000 machine like that. I mean, not majority of golfers. So it's like, you still got to have your boy in there, or lady in there telling you like, dude, you need to pop your hips down first, or, you know, get your weight transferred from your right foot to your left foot. Like, and that'll automatic. And that's things too. They know like once what one move does to create another move.
Yeah. And it's
like a chain reaction, right?
It comes down to something you learn about on YouTube, or something even AI might tell you, yeah, that this could help you, but it might not be the key reason that you're struggling.
Yeah. I mean, Jerry doesn't change anything fundamentally with my grip. I would say I'm probably pretty neutral on my grip. I'd say I have a pretty decent athletic posture. I know that I tend to have the ball up more up in my stance versus middle.
Right.
Most irons, which I need to, it's more of like an alignment thing. It's like I set the club, but I don't necessarily move my body forward or back in line with where the club is at in proportion to my feet. But besides that, it's just like, he's like, dude, you're consistent. Like, you have the same swing over and over again. So if we can just get your consistency spot to be where you're not over swinging and having a loop, a Jim Furyk loop at the top, you'll hit the ball more consistent and flush. Like, we can get you hit in the center a lot more often.
Well, you ever notice it comes down to, like, me and you've talked about, if we're hitting good on the range, we're worried about what's going to happen on the course. If we're hitting it bad on the range, we're like, we're going to be solid today on the course, we'll be in the slot, no doubt. But have you ever noticed when you try to help somebody, or you say something like this, man, if you could just use that practice swing to hit the ball.
Yep. That's my dad in a nutshell.
But at the same time, have you ever, I've never videotaped myself, but I'm assuming I do this. Like, if I try to help somebody and I say, you know, just move the ball back or stand back a little bit, no matter how many times you say that to them, when they get, if you put them in position, they still move around. They go right back to the same position that they felt comfortable at, which is back to the way they were hitting it like crap.
Yeah. Or it's kind of like the thing like tin cup, right? Where it's like, oh, put the change from your left pocket to your right pocket. Put this over here, do that. It's more of a mental. Stop getting them focused on whatever they are focused on and focus on something different.
Well, it's amazing to me how the mind works of what you think, like, I'm going to play this ball off my back foot. And realistically, you put it right back in the center. Now you may move, and you come right back to where you were.
Yeah. But mentally, you're somewhere different, and you magically can hit a better shot.
I think it's wild. I see people do that all the time, and I'm like, I mean, I'm not laughing because I'm 100% positive I do it. Why would I do anything different than you do? You know, it's just where you feel comfortable, where that ball's at, and that's where you assume it should be for your swing.
Yep, 100%.
So, John, I'm gonna throw some things out here to you. We got Phil and a 2021 PGA Championship. Sergio wins his 2017 Masters. Tiger went in the 2019 Masters. Or Anthony Kim at the 2026 Live Adelaide. Which one is larger in the eyes of a comeback? Do you think it's Anthony Kim? You think of where Tiger was? You think of how much Sergio battled to try to win the Masters? You know what? We can put Rory in there last year.
Man, you can leave Rory in every discussion with me, and I'm not a Tiger fan, but I mean,
that's tough. That's a tough one.
I'd have to go probably. I hate Tiger, not as a person or a player, just the media around him. But I'd probably have to put it on Tiger just because he had so many surgeries, knees and accidents. He wasn't playing into anything, and all of a sudden he came back. And I don't even think, I don't think people let him win, but I think just Tiger being out there making a charge, like, I think other people were playing better than him that day.
Yeah, but I think there's so much mystique around him, and when all of a sudden he just didn't lose. Like, he played that round and he stayed in it. He played it smart.
We'll take course management. Tiger knows better than anybody because he's been there more than anybody, right?
Well, he knows that place. I mean,
he just, it's better course management. So but I still think that he would take the ticket on comeback. Now, you can't say anything bad about Phil. Sergio, I don't even remember him winning it. So you got to throw that one out for me. But I love seeing Anthony Kim come back after, his addiction. And, I think fame got to him and stardom got to him. And probably one of those guys that didn't have a whole lot growing up and got stardom, and then the arrogance kicked in, right? Yeah, I got all this newfangled confidence, and I'm calling up Tiger on the phone, and next thing you know, I'm winning tournaments and making millions. And then life hit him right in the face, and 10 years later, here he is.
Yeah, I mean, I think his story's right up there. It's a close one for me between him and Tiger, but the fact that, Anthony Kim's problem, obviously there was drugs involved, but the fact that he had the Achilles thing, then it's the thumb thing, and then, he had that insurance policy. And I think the fact that, I don't think he thought he could hold up, so he went ahead and took the insurance policy, whether or not that regretted it. But, I mean, he had enough money to survive, but you see what it did to him. But to then turn around and come out of nowhere and chase down Rahm and DeChambeau, although the DeChambeau did kind of throw it up all over himself, but to see him come back and just putt after putt after putt and just take off. And the fact that he wasn't, I mean, he was hitting it good, but he wasn't hitting it great. I mean, he wasn't.
No, I mean, it reminds me of like a really Jordan Spieth-y.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. With the putts and the chips.
I'd agree. Correct.
You know, his up. And I think if you look back, and I don't know if there's a stat AI could probably tell us, but like the guys that know how to get up and down and make long putts, like if you're putting well and you're getting up and down, like you can't beat those guys. I think to beat the guys that have more green and regs because their putter's hot. And then if they got a good wedge with them, it's hard to beat those guys.
I know. And that's that when you see things like that, and I know a lot of people argue back and forth with me all day on this, I really have a hard time with strokes gain when you start talking like that, because I was looking at the waste management and a lot of those holes are pretty wide open on that course. And those guys were swinging at 127 miles an hour with some of the fastest swing speeds out there. So, I mean, they're not going to lose the ball. They're just pounding out there. So then I looked at Harbortown and a couple other courses where then they're only swinging at about 117 miles an hour because there's so much danger. And then you look at guys like Anthony Kim or even your Jordan Spieth that come back and their short game and their iron game so good. And it makes me wonder, are we giving amateurs the right information or ourselves the right information to like beat driver everywhere? Yeah. You know, guys really are buying into that. Hit it, and that's not truly what I think they mean by strokes gain, is they're saying that, yeah, the closer you get, generally the better you are. But if you have a 60-yard cut and you only got 30 yards of fairway with the trash on the right, trees or water or whatever, you better go down to 3-wood.
Yep.
Better play something safe. And I don't think that comes across very well. And I think that costs a lot of people a lot of strokes, don't you think?
Yeah. I mean, I think it. So Phil and Grant came back with their, you know, 1v1 special or on their
channel. Oh, yeah.
And they played, I forgot the course. I don't know, somewhere out in California, one of Phil's courses.
Yep.
But it seemed like every hole had a tight fairway. And it's like there's only maybe like two, maybe max three holes where they could both kind of get after a little bit. And they both got penalized from bad, like they weren't, I wouldn't say terrible flagrant drives, but they tried to step on it, give it a little bit extra horsepower, and it cost them. I mean, so you get these, like I get getting closer, but if you got a tight, tight course, like the old, I would say 1920s, 1930s, like country club where it's tree lined all the way from tee to green, the guys are playing a different strategy, you know? So well, you tip these courses out 7,500 yards, you put trees on both sides from, you know, tee box to green. I don't think you're going to see these negative 20, negative 22 under for a 4-day round.
You know, the other interesting thing, she brought that up, was the fact that I really think they missed some really good opportunities in that. Like, I watched it, obviously, but the hole where Grant was in the downhill lie in the pine straw, you know, off in the, you know, off in the trees a little bit by the green, I really wish he would have said, "Hey, Phil, how would you hit this shot?"
Yep.
Because Phil put on a master class there for if people want to learn how to hit shots with different clubs.
Yeah.
I mean, he started out 54, spun too much. Went to 50, spun too much. Then 96 yards out, he just chips a pitching wedge up there and just drops it like a pillow and lets it roll up.
Yeah.
He understood the way the greens were reacting, and every time he got to that yardage, he just started manipulating what club he was using until he got the result he wanted. And it was whatever, three holes, and he had it. He knew what he needed to do.
Yeah, he held it. He was sitting in at 10, 12 feet at the max.
Right.
Not seeing him hit like a 9-iron from 110 out. Right.
But I think that's where they're missing in that series a little bit, is just giving Phil the time to just operate verbally, just sit there and say, "Oh, yeah, if you're, you know, this kind of short game shot." And he does to a certain extent, but that shot when Grant was in there, Grant hit a good shot out of there, but I'm like, man, I'd really like to hear what he would say on that. You know what I mean? Oh, I would just take a 50 degree and hit down on it, you know, and knock it out of there. But yeah, I'm glad to see them back together. I think that's great for YouTube golf. And I think that they've got some really big matches. I heard Xander's name getting tossed around in there, and I think they said something about Brad Dalkey and
FP. Dalkey and Fat Perez.
I think that'd be an interesting match. But man,
yeah, they were kind of worried about Fat Perez and Dalkey for some reason.
I would rather see FP and Xander.
Yeah,
I think that would be a. I think that would be a pretty slick combination to see.
Yeah, even Phil said like we got to get Xander on because he's such an underrated comedian.
Oh God, he's a man. He's one hell of a shit talker, dude. He definitely lets it rip. I think he'd be great. I mean, even gosh dang it, Wyndham Clark was pretty good. Yeah. Which I didn't expect when I saw him on. Yeah. I think he was on Bob Does Sports. He had some pretty good zingers here and there. Finau was great. Did you see Finau on Bob Does?
Finau's always good. Yeah, yeah, you can't go wrong with Finau.
Dude, he's just so laid back. Just, and I didn't. Did you know he did all that damage to his ankle when at the Masters?
Yeah, when he was running backwards.
Yeah, and I didn't even realize that was his first Masters, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I didn't know if I knew that, but I do remember him messing up his foot.
Well, I remember he messed up his foot. I just didn't realize he tore all those tendons and then played out on it.
Well, I saw him pop it back in. I didn't know anything.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I saw that, too. What? How bad is that? You hit a hole in one on the par three, then rip all your tendons in your ankle in your first Masters.
Hate to see it.
Oh, God. Sounds like something that would happen to me. I'm like, oh, this is great. Oops. I'm done.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you did have some of those struggles that one year. I forgot what it was. What'd you mess up that one year?
That was definitely my Achilles.
Yeah, your Achilles. Yeah,
that was not a good time. Not at all. It's hard to believe that how much pressure you put on that, and how much an injury of that just is not just man. Does it hurt? It's not a good one. I don't wish that upon anybody. It's kind of like back pain. You get some reoccurring back pain all the time. That's no bueno either.
Yeah.
So what's next, John? What's coming up for you?
My goal Saturday. We'll see what the boys are doing if we get this warmer weather. What else have we got going on? Nothing until April, till my birthday, going out to Arizona. So hopefully you got your vacation time put in because you know you'll be going mandatory overtime.
Oh God, I'm over that already, and it's early. What do you think about the? What do you think about those new Titleist irons? Oh, well, you know what? What do you think about the new Link putters coming out from Lab, the heel shaft?
Yeah, it doesn't do anything for me.
They've got the heel shaft Link, and they have now I just saw they have the 2.2, which is going to be kind of the wide body blade.
Yeah, neither of those did anything for me.
No, they look like the standard putter, and everybody's can quit that complaining about them not looking like regular or your average run-of-the-mill putter.
Yeah, that's probably why they don't do anything for me. They just look like a normal putter, you know? They're going backwards. Other people are trying to catch up to them going forward, so I don't know. The new Titleist oil stain irons are just nasty.
Does Ty already have those in the bag?
He has them ordered.
Oh, boy.
And I go, what those cost you, like $1,600? He's like, well, I had to get these shafts, and then I got the black shafts, and then he's $2,300 in the hole.
I just hope they do not wear like the black ones do.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how they're going to do. It'd be cool to see those T150s in a raw finish. I think that'd be sick.
Yeah. I guess they could do that, obviously. But I think that, I don't know, man. I just don't have a lot of, ever since I used those sub-70s and our buddy Joel Para and that the way they apply that black into the metal and how well it holds up. And then thinking all those years that I bought black clubs, it just faded like two shots out of the bunker. And you're like, oh, well, it was cool while it lasted. Or, you know, a couple shots out of the fairway.
That's why, like, whatever Sirchon did with those, the chrome like metal, those things have held up great.
The only thing, I love them. I really do. But, man, if they were darker, I wouldn't be mad either.
Yeah, I kind of like it just because the Srixon or the Cleveland wedges, came out with the same color.
Right.
So then you could really, so like it didn't bother me as much. But I think if you go darker, then you get to worry about the darker it is, the easier it is to wear.
Yeah. Right? No, I get it. I think that I can't see for any reason why, unless I would never do it this year or whatever, or last year, go to the ZXIs, but maybe another year or so, depending on what they come out with.
Yeah.
I think me and you are on the same page. How much more can they do with an iron face that they haven't already done?
Yeah, they can't. I mean, I'm going to wait until I see Ty's clubs in person because I really like the look of those online. But otherwise, I'm not changing irons. I played with Tex Center Shaft and Scotty Cameron, Zero Torque. He got that.
Oh, God. Here we go. Yeah.
He got the full mallet.
Yeah.
One, not the link with the half round. What I don't like about it is when you set it down, it still wants to toe open a little bit. It doesn't sit down square, flat on that. You just set it and don't touch it. Just the way the engineering design is on the bottom.
Right.
You have to hold it square up. It doesn't just naturally rest square.
Huh. That's weird.
Whereas like the lab, it feels like as soon as you set it down, it doesn't move anywhere. Just right. Sets flat.
Right.
And that maybe it's just because I don't know what his specs were that he got. Maybe it was too long for me or too short. My angle of how I hold the putter fucked with it. But yeah, I didn't like it. I played with Bettinardi, that one of Tony's that just kind of sat open, felt like 10 degrees. And the first thing I do is I set it down where I think it's square. And if that thing moves, then it pisses me off.
Right.
I want to set it down and leave it, then grip it. So that's the only downside. But I'm still going to go try to play that round back as soon as I can find one.
Oh, you having a hard time finding them?
Well, not new, but used.
Oh, yeah. You're waiting for somebody to give up on it early, eh?
Yeah, that's why I was really hoping you bought both of them already. And I just, hey, Steve, which one do you like the least?
No,
I've been that guy this year.
I haven't been able to get somewhere to really see it, to use it, to see if I like it. I don't know, man. Since that day and I blame Taylor Fletcher at the Golf Nest for this, and he's like, oh yeah, I got one of those Ozs out there. And I go over there and I'm on that putt view and I sink like 8-12 footers. And I go, yeah, I'm just gonna have to get one.
Yeah, put it on my 10.
I will go ahead and get me one of those to go. It just feels, man, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm tired of dancing around with different putters. I'm just going to dance with the girl I brought.
That's how I am. I'm going to play my old Scotty when I feel like getting nostalgic, and I'll go back to the lab when everyday rounds.
Yeah, I feel like I could go back. I'll never get rid of my all black Scotty. And if I just ever get frustrated, I feel like I'd have no issue just going back and sinking putts with that putter.
Yeah. I mean, that's all. My all black Scotty is play with that any day of the week. I know exactly how it is. If I, for whatever reason, get in a punting slump with my Oz, I'll just go back to Scotty and he'll get me through it, and I'll putt decent with it all the time. And then when I want to feel like I got it figured out, I'll go back to the Oz and it'll feel so much easier. And then as you pick up another bad habit with your putting stroke, then it's going to go change it back and get a different feel.
Well, you know, we only have, let's see, March, April. We've only got a few months before Titleist drivers come out.
Yeah, that's scary.
The Titleist drivers and Woods, they're not replacing the mini driver. They're not changing the hybrid, but they will be coming out with a new driver and new Woods.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I did not realize that they dropped their pricing on the GT series by $200.
Yeah.
It's like $449. It's cheaper. It's cheaper than the mini driver to buy the GT driver.
I have a GT driver.
I know. Are you already in the market? You thinking about it already?
Yeah, because I nailed that driver at Hangar Bar Indy against the pylon behind me on my backswing.
Oh.
Got a little reach, a little too flat and far out.
Oh.
So I chipped some paint on the back of her. So she's battle wounded, battle scarred.
Oh, that's rough.
Yeah, doesn't seem to affect it. Still hit the piss out of it.
Yeah, but that's like, that just sets in as a fear. It's kind of like if you ever go to a driving range that's, you've got the covered section, it's got the poles behind you, and you're constantly, I really think that's my whole simulator thing. I feel like I'm going to hit the wall every time.
You're restricted, right?
Yeah, every time. It doesn't matter. It's so crazy. And it drives me nuts. No matter what, I'm always thinking about it.
I get it.
So, John, how did 5-iron go, even though I was not able to make it due to work?
Yeah, that was your best event put on. And
everybody
was like, man, this event's going really well. I was like, yeah, well, Steve isn't here. So
he does such a good job. He just doesn't even have to be here.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Everybody had a good time. We ended up playing Valhalla. We played it at the middle tees, which was like 6,600 yards. We put medium pin positions on there, so not easy, but not crazy stupid.
Right.
But what I did for everybody is I put the stint meter up to 12.
So did you do gimmies, though, or did you actually putt out?
8-foot gimmies.
Okay.
But people were hitting 9-foot putts and having a 15-footer coming back because of the ridges at Valhalla.
Well, but the problem is, how many people actually stuck one within the 8 feet that didn't roll out?
A lot. It happened a lot.
All right, cool.
Or people hitting wedge shots in, you know, hitting that 110-yard shot, and next thing you know, they're 15 foot off the green.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's the hard part there. God, I wish we could go
back. It was good. You know, we didn't play anything. Everybody just paid the $70 or $69 and 97 cents or whatever it was. I think I was on a team with Jordan, which Jordan played good. He shot like 5 over on those conditions, which was really good. I was at like 17, 18 over. I had picked it up twice. I was hungover and sore, had too much sex that night. Body was dead. I didn't start playing good until the back nine. I shot like 49 on the front and came back and shot pretty decent on the back. Tex. He started playing good, and then his little girlfriend was there, and then he had to start showing off and doing shots, and, you know, he started going downhill, and then Dustin was up. He was riding the roller coaster, and then I think everybody else was right around we shot, I think, 2 over, 1 over total for 4-man, 2 best ball, which in those conditions I was pretty proud of, considering I couldn't rotate at all given my physical limitations that day. But I think Justin McCrean's and Brian Kirschbaum's team, I think they shot right around somewhere between 2 to 4. And then the other two groups were probably like 5 to 7-ish.
Sweet.
Pretty tight competition. Everybody was checking on everybody, but you couldn't tell what the score was because it was all just 4 individual balls. But
right.
Yeah, everybody had a good 4 hours. Everybody finished early, which is great. So we had time to shoot the shit around 15 minutes extra. Everybody warmed up for about 10 or 15 minutes. So 4 people took about 3.5 hours, which is about perfect.
Yep.
Yep. So food. They changed up their menu. I got to get 5-iron this. They changed up their menu. Food menu is great. On Sundays, you can get $5 unlimited boneless wings with fries. Okay. And I'm not a huge boneless fan because they put too much breading on them, I think, but they were decent for $5. Were great. The tacos there were great. Tony got some short rib tacos that were amazing. We got some pizza that was good. We got some garlic knots, some traditional wings. I mean, food was flowing. Drinks were okay. They were out of Sprite and ran out of ginger ale, and they ran out of something. They weren't ready for us. I know that. The service lady, their waitress, was sweetheart, but I went up to the bar 3 or 4 times just to get a refill on my Coke because I wasn't drinking any alcohol.
Were you guys downstairs?
Downstairs, yep. We had 4 bays all right next to each other in the back end, which was cool. But yeah, service was slow and they were out of some stuff. But overall, the food was good. The games were fun. The camaraderie was cool. Nobody had a bad time.
Nice. That's good to hear. It's always good when everybody can get out and play. I knew better.
Yep.
But it's what it is. I made good money. I'm not going to complain too bad.
Yeah. I mean, just goes to show, if you don't show up, things go well.
You know? I'll keep that in mind from here on out.
Yep. Just set them up and we'll knock them down for you.
Well, that's all I wanted to talk about, John, and get another show out and kind of talk it up and see how things are going with you. I know we'll get some rounds in once it gets warm out. My God, I'll be ready for this. For the weather to turn.
Yeah. Friday, Saturday look good. Next week, Thursday looks good. Thursday and on, it's going to get up and then it's going to dip back down and go back up again. But it'll be that way until we get to the end of March, early April. But then you'll get it where it's 60s all the time, but you're going to get April showers, right? Bring May flowers. So,
Yep, I'm off to.
Yeah, you got a trip coming up too, don't you?
Sand Hill, North Carolina, here in March.
I was very tempted on that if I wouldn't have found that Caesars trip. And then the owner of Fire Lake called me and goes, man, should see this new short game area we're putting in with a true 18-hole putting course around it. That'll be great. Excited about that, man. We're going to play TPC Deer Run while we're out there. Everybody's going to go in a day early, play TPC Deer Run, and then 3 full days at Fire Lake. 20 guys, the course to yourself, unlimited food, unlimited drinks, unlimited golf off the course.
That is pretty wild. They do unlimited food.
Yeah. Yeah. And well, dinner is not unlimited food. They make meals for everybody. And him and his wife, she cooks the steaks, I guess, out, and he comes over and has dinner with you on the last night before the trip's over on that Tuesday night.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah, and I thought that was great. TPC Deer Run, just got it in. We got 16 guys signed up. 4 people are not going to play that are going on Fire Lake. 139. That includes cart and range balls for a tour-level course. I mean, they host Deer Classic there, right? So you get personalized cart signs and scoreboards. You send them like your T-sheet with who's playing with who. You can put a credit card on file for like the food and snacks and bev cart. You can get pre-sign up for a box meal while you're on the course. They sell tobacco products in Illinois. I didn't know that was a thing, but they do that. And you can get everybody part of this group package. You could select if you want like a hat, a polo or a ball marker or divot tool personalized for the group. And all that's part of your contract. You can pretty much just prepay for the entire thing if you want to. So that way when you're there, I am not doing that because I don't trust anybody in our group. But I'm like, everybody's going to pay individually. All we're doing is paying for golf.
Right.
But it is a cool thing. If we did a small group, I think if you wanted to get 4 or 8 guys, you could definitely do that and say, hey, like, I'm just going to put my credit card on file. I'll send out Venmo requests after I get the final invoice.
Right.
Which is great.
I think every course should do that.
Yep.
Or at least especially courses like that should offer something like that. It doesn't cost them anything to do it.
No.
And it makes so much sense when you're going to courses like that. It's TPC or Deer Run. If you're going to we're going to go play Todd Hill Farm and Tobacco Road, they're pretty premier courses. You think they would offer something like that? Like, hey, you can go ahead and order this. And when you show up, it'll be in a bag for your cart. And the box lunch thing, phenomenal idea. That way you don't have to worry about ordering it. Boom, a tray to go. You make
be ready for you at the turn. They'll pretty much know your pace of play.
Yeah, they can see where you're at. Bing, bang, bong. You got your food. There's no hesitation. Double crowns of Cokes in there and you're ready to rock.
Yeah. That's the only thing I didn't ask him. I'm on this new High Noon has a drink out called the Lucky One.
Okay.
And it's a non-carbonated.
Oh, there you go. That's nice.
And they have this blueberry lemonade. Dude.
Somebody, what's the other one we tried like that? That's non-carbon. Is it the Day
Surfside or Surfside?
Oh,
Sun Cruiser.
Yeah, but are the Daily ones non-carbonated?
John Daly, the Good Boys, right?
Yeah.
I'm not as fun, but I'm not as into those as much, but I'm into these. These things are dangerous, man, I'm telling you.
Well,
you don't even know you're buzzed until you're
buzzed.
Drinking like we do. Yeah, you're there.
Well, John, it was good to sit down and talk with you, buddy, and we'll get another one scheduled and get it on get it recorded and get it put out. And once again, we're making the request. I guess I'm going to have to put it on our social media. We want the smoke. We need to set up some matches and get out there and play. And win or lose, we'll have you on the podcast. We can have you on before.
Yeah.
Whatever it takes. We can do a little trash talk, whatever. But, hey, if it gets it on the course, gets us out on the course, we're willing to do it. So bring it.
That's it.
All right, John, well, you have a good evening.
All right, brother. Appreciate you.
I'll talk to you later.
Yeah.